1 Kings. And I want us to think about tonight, as we start into this old precious encouragement from this sweet little lady that they went and sought for the king, that we would bring heat to the king. And I love that. Bring in heat to the king. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, there's been a fire started here. And it's burning. And I don't think we're ashamed. I don't think we're embarrassed. I'm so thankful that all we want to do is get in there more and more. And this is, I believe, an encouragement of what's going on, all by the grace of God, is that heat and love and passion that we are bringing to Him that is worthy to receive all of it. And in the first chapter, in the first verse, it says there, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not." And I am so thankful, as we began, how beautiful it is that we were sought to bring that warmth to the king. That's you. You know that. Paul's gospel brings that heat. Those cherubim, as they're seen in Ezekiel, they're not lit on fire for nothing. They're torches. And you talk about fiery coals. They bring heat to the heart of the king. I think about how cold, but for God, we can be. How indifferent we can be. I love to bring full joy to my Savior. I love to bring full joy to my Father. I was always so thankful, thinking back about my own dad. And as the Lord would encourage my heart as a young person, I told you I take no credit. I would think I was more fearful that my parents were older, that they were going to die. But in all seriousness, I grew to really appreciate how much my mom and dad loved me and how much I wanted to please my dad. And I wanted to honor him, and I wanted to bring him honor. And I was so thankful how the Lord so transferred that over in my walk with my beautiful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the only thing I can do for it would be pleasing to the Father is to continue to take of His Son, to continue to praise His Son, to continue to magnify His Son, to continue to lift up His Son, to continue to allow the life of His Son to grow in my life, to see the life of His Son in my life, knowing how much He's for me, how much He loves me, that when He sees me, He sees His Son. Not just that He sees His Son, but I am His Son, for now I am a son of God. And I thank the Lord for that encouragement to my heart. But I look at this and I rejoice and I think, oh Lord, and even as we grow and that transformation is made in our lives, we bring that warmth to the King. And especially as it says here, we stand before Him. And I love that. Aren't you thankful? You think about these, and we're going to read about a couple more sisters, that we're not afraid just to stand before the King. And they stand arrayed in that beauty. They stood there, and they spoke to the King. And they spoke to Him the ministering words of life. And the communion that was received, and the fellowship that was longed for by that King, He wanted that more than anything. He was truly, if you were, He was waiting for it. He wanted that interaction. But yet most just walked around it or were afraid or thought it was too intimate or maybe I shouldn't go. But there was the urgency, there was grace that brought the circumstances that called those women out. Grace that brought the circumstances that called each and every one of us out. That we have to go before the King. And we go boldly. And we go in love. And isn't it wonderful we minister to the Lord? I love that. And I loved this morning as the Lord encouraged us when we speak in that wonderful language of the Holy Ghost, we speak mysteries unto God. Now, you see, this is, praise God, you, and this is me. Now think of how sweet it was, Ruth speaking to Boaz. Go on over to chapter 3 of Ruth, and let's read verse 10. Mighty. And in verse 10, this is Boaz speaking to Ruth. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." And I love in the Word of God, you'll always see how this tracks. They were always first a daughter. They were always brought in as the virgin or the choice one. But those that would go on, they always ended up one way, the wife. My sister, my spouse. Praise the Lord, how this pattern continues on. But I love how this points out, you have done me better at this latter end than you did at the beginning. And I love how he says, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Brothers and sisters, how marvelous this grace is once again. This is us because of grace and the love of Paul's gospel in our lives. This is exactly what we have become in allowing the grace of God to grow the love in us for the bridegroom. That we're not ashamed of it. That this is something that not only do we say, but we call it out. It's our life. It's how we speak. It's how we interact. And by the grace of God, it's how we interact with one another. I thank the Lord that we understand that that love and that affection of the bridal love is not just to the head, but to the body. Now you think about these glorious encouragements, and they're to us. And these encouragements, as we take them so personally, they impassion us to run on. And to run for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because we know that these things were written for us. The Lord was writing about the grace of God that is with us. The Lord was writing about the heart that he would give us to pursue him. I thank the Lord for that. These are the encouragements that we need, isn't it? Because see, if we look at ourselves and we look at our own lives and our actions, a lot of time they don't follow suit. But I thank the Lord, once again, it's all by the word of his grace. It's never by our might. It's always by his spirit, saith the Lord. Now, what we have here is we see the heart of the Shulamite. We see the heart of the grace-filled one. We see the heart of the bride. We see the heart of one that is in love with him. And brothers and sisters, this is what is so sweet. If you look at these two stories, they somewhat would imply these were both old men. Think about it. David was an old man. Boaz is an old man, really, if you think about it. He's saying, well, there were younger men, honey. But you've even showed me more kindness at this latter end than you even did at the beginning. You weren't just trying to get at something. You loved me. You loved my heart. Isn't that how we are with the Lord? We're not trying to get anything out of God. We know we've been given everything. He's given us everything. All we want to do is to love him. All we want to do is to draw nigh to him and to love him in increased capacity all the time. To praise him and to thank him and to be with him and to be with him in this fellowship. But see, these were old men. Their time, if you will, of physical beauty had really faded away. And I love that because it kind of brings me over to Isaiah chapter 53. And if you go to verse 2, it says there in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, speaking of our Lord, halfway down there, He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. Brothers and sisters, to the human eye, our lives the lives of those that are in love with the Lamb slain, they don't understand it. They're like the daughters of Jerusalem, if you will, to the Shulamite. Remember, they said to her, "Why do you love Him so much? He's not the only one. He can't be that beautiful. There's other loves, you know." And that was just crazy talk to her. "You're bothering me. I've got to get away from you. You're irritating me." And as brother said, maybe that's kind of what these earthly best friends become. They somewhat can become irritants as opposed to the friend we thought we had. You still love, absolutely. But you have a first love. You have something you need to be about. And we need to be about being a readied wife. And I thank the Lord for that. And this is how we ready for Him. We come on a Sunday night and we hear the Word of God. But see, the world sees no earthly profit in seeking God's best. And I'm even speaking of Christians that really don't understand, truly understand the new man and the height of the new man. They do not see the profit, if you will, the wealth in seeking God's best. And as we know, in seeking God's best, it comes with great sufferings. When going on and choosing the one where there is no beauty to behold Him, people don't understand, do they? Do you see the heart of our God just like the heart of these kings, like David, so ravished by Abishag, Boaz so blown away by Ruth? Even though the Lord has given us the immensity of this truth and this wonderful word, all of the grace, the power of the Holy Ghost to receive it, He's still blown away all the time when we take it. He's ravished. He's a young row lover. I'm sure sometimes He says to the Father, "Oh, I can't believe how she loves me." I'm confident He does. Because He loves like that. He was made a man. How could He not know that? How could He not, if you will, feel that? Startled at her love. Go back and read about Boaz when she came unto him at night. She startled him. I love to startle my Savior. He gave me the things that were mine. They were mine. I was just rejoicing with a sister in the office, and we were talking about little Esther. She took the things that were hers. Isn't that amazing? They were sitting there for me all the time. And ages passed awaiting me to take, if you will, in Christ. Just adorn yourself with those, my love. I know what's going to get me. I know what's going to ravish me. All the things that you already have. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, brothers and sisters, for those who see the beauty, it's because of one thing. Peter began to see it when he said to the Lord, "Where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of life." The Word of God is the most beautiful thing there is, isn't it? There's nothing more beautiful than the Word of God. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. There's nothing that does the same things to you that the Word of God does. There's nothing that brings the same things to you as the Word of God does. There isn't a person that is the closest person to you that can do the things that the Word of God does for you in every way, shape, form, and capacity. Everything in life truly will grow old, maybe a little bit dim, if you will. But this is the one thing by the grace of God that will increase if you let it. This is the one thing that will even grow more beautiful. You'll have a desire for it if you lay hold of it that you never even had to begin with. There'll be a quickening, and it's fun to see some of our older saints, early 90s, mid 90s, approaching 100. And you see, though, if you will, the renewed youth. And I'm talking about the fervent passion of winning Christ as bridegroom. They become younger all the time in that, if you will, they move into the courtship. They move into that time of the greatest excitement. Come on. Us married ones, we love one another, and that love has grown. But let's be honest. In that courtship, there was an excitement there, an anticipation to be with that one that can never be compared. That's where he takes us. This is the only thing that does that and becomes more real all the time. And it does it again and again and again, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how the Word of God does that? See, even a person in a way can only do it once. But there's something about the Word of God. Amen. Courts you all the time, doesn't it? That's why I love this extended engagement, if you will. It's a beautiful time. I tell kids when they come in to get married, you know, they want to get married right away. I said, why don't you enjoy the courtship of being engaged? I said, you never get that back again. Oh, you'll be married a long time by the grace of God. But you'll never get that courtship back. Enjoy that engagement. Amen? Amen. I know how God does that. Now, we abide as a readied wife. But we understand, too, that we haven't apprehended to that. So we still are in that courtship. But we know that his proposal is already done. So we rest in his love for us. And in resting in that, we give him that same rest as he trusts in the heart of his beloved. It's quite wonderful what we can be to our God. Amen. But see, when, as Peter said, you have the words of life, you're it, really. There's nothing that compares to the altogether lovely one. There isn't. He has every bit of lovely for our life. Yes. He becomes the one thing, as Paul says. He becomes that one. I have to attain to that. I want to apprehend that. I press for that mark. And this is magnificent as God brings this out. Now, often we magnify, if you will, thinking of these disciples, the fear when they departed from the Lord. But how about the faith by grace that they received to follow him to begin with? Have you ever thought of that? You know, it wasn't a popular thing. Matter of fact, it was quite dangerous to follow Jesus. And it was. Going with Jesus did not increase their wealth one bit, naturally speaking. Matter of fact, they left their occupation and became, if you will, vagabonds in a way. They were seen as the crazy ones, the outcasts, the stupid. I've been called 2 out of 3 of those multiple times. Yet these are the 12, praise God, that will rule on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. Oh, and what a beautiful thing it will be to see those brothers exalted in the Lord as they give him all the praise. As that unfaithful wife is brought back to the Father. What a glory. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the beloved Son of God.
Brothers and sisters, that worm upon the cross, that wretched cross to some, is our beautiful, most spectacular Lamb of God, who bore all of our sin, guilt, and shame. Now, you think about all that have heard the wonderful bridal proposal of the Apostle Paul. What a wonder. It always ends in one of two ways, if you will. Either one will respond and come forth as Esther, stand before the king with all the things of hers, because the Holy Ghost takes the things of Christ, which you already have, and shows them unto you. That's right. Praise God. You were born a little Lord of all, and you better get it. It's all there. His life is all there. All it has to do is grow up. It grows up by faith. It grows up by believing the Word of God. It grows up fully by just taking the Word of His grace. Amen. So, you can either stand before Him in that after receiving that proposal, or you can end up a Vashti where the crown is taken away. See, the difference was, is Esther, she recognized how priceless the mercy and grace that flooded her life. That's the mark. The mark is the mercy and grace. The mark is the grace and mercy. Always is, always will be. And those that stay in that and continue to praise Him for that, you'll hit the mother lode. And you will. Because that mercy and grace will only promote more glory, because that's what gives Him glory. He's magnified because of His mercy. Amen. When we turn from that in any way, shape, or form, we're going to miss the full increase that we could have had. We'll miss the fullness, the measure, the stature of the life of Christ in us that was meant to grow up into Him in all things. So, by the grace of God, we come in with this full assurance of faith, believing. And once again, faith worketh by love. If you don't understand and know the love of Christ, you'll never have full faith to believe Him, to be fully finished for Him. It will work no other way. And that's why the call is, know the love of Christ. But see, Esther recognized the priceless mercy and grace that flooded her life. And she took it. Just like all of the other Gentile brides of the Old Testament. They saw that mercy. They saw that it wasn't coincidence. They were called, they were chosen. There was the opportunity, and they seized it. Whereas with Vashti, she took it for granted. She took it for granted in a sense and in a way that I'm going to have it on my terms. See, she knew about being the queen. Matter of fact, she was. But in type and shadow, can you see that even though she knew it, she didn't rejoice in the grace and the mercy and the privilege that was given to her to be that one for Him? Somehow, maybe we think we're so special and it wasn't the grace of God that's with us. Somehow, with the knowledge of who we are, we grow puffed up. Well, Lord, I don't feel like it right now. By the grace of God, let's not tell Him I don't feel like it. That was a fatal mistake for a ruling and reigning woman. But brothers and sisters, she didn't see that the king was the most beautiful. The king in her eyes wasn't the most beautiful. She loved her thoughts. She loved herself more than the reward of being married to the king. You know that? The Word of God tells us we occupy as a readied wife, as if it's already done. As we've rejoiced and read about the ancient Jewish marriage wedding, that document of marriage was signed and done. That hand was given in marriage. All she had to do was abide in it and trust upon Him that He was going to prepare and would return for her. And when he returned, she would be fully, fully taken care of. It's all done. It's all there. And yet, were you really in love in the first place? You see? Now, when we really fall in love, if you will, in type like this, I think we all have a heart like the Queen of Sheba. The half had not been told. The half had not been told. I come in here all the time, I'm telling you. And every day throughout the week, as he shows me more, I say to him all the time, the half has not been told. It never stops. His beauty truly causes us to say it over and over again. That's why, really, and we may all be there at one time or another because we are defiant but for God. Oh, I know this bridal doctrine. I don't need to hear it no more. I know it. I don't need to come every Sunday. I don't need to come on Wednesdays. That pastor, he talked about coming down to the altar. I don't need to do that. He's not going to tell me about my heavenly language. I'm not telling you about your heavenly language. The Word of God tells you about that heavenly language. And if you claim to be a follower as Paul, as he followed Christ, I think you better wake up. As a matter of fact, I know you should. But see, brothers and sisters, he reveals himself to us and we become more ravished with him, just like he becomes more ravished with us. And once again, you think about how that happens. Jonathan's love for David was one thing. He fell in love with David's words, the words of the king. When David came and spoke, that was it. He fell in love. It was the words. That's what began to deal with Peter. That's what began to deal again with all of these Gentile brides, was truly the words of what was theirs, if they would just take it. Now, it's faith, brothers and sisters, is what it is, isn't it? It's believing God. And once again, it only comes by hearing the Word of God. The Word of God causes our eyes to see him as the most beautiful. The more of the Word of God causes us to see more and more of his beauty. How incredibly beautiful he is to behold. That he is the most beautiful there ever could be and ever will be. The more truth, praise God, the more beautiful we become to one another. That's one of the greatest indicators. Are you growing in the Lord? Is your love increasing for the saints? Is your love increasing for the people of God? Is your love increasing to gather, to want to see and to hear? Is your life, does it speak of? And it's not something you do. It's what you're going to and toward. Are you leaving the camp? Are the things that you thought were so dear, are they growing strangely dim? That when I do have time and fellowship time, I want to be with people that love the Lord. I want to be with people that love the Lord. And let me tell you something, I have a lot of family. I have a big family. And I love all my family. And I care for all my family. And I love the souls of all my family. But there are certain family members that I'm just drawn to more. And I can tell you without exception, it's those that fervently are in love with the truth. And there's ones I love so much, but that conversation can only go so far. And it doesn't satisfy. And I know we're not supposed to be anxious for anything, but I get kind of anxious that I got to have that fellowship. I want to have that intense encouragement and love. Amen. And as brother said about a best friend, God had given me such a precious best friend. And I thank God how the Lord developed that with the encouragement of the bridal truth. But as time went by, we didn't both go that way. And in many respects, it's as if I don't even know my friend today. Somebody I could tell you more about their life and their upbringing and their growth and all of that. But yet I know you. And I know you and you and you and you and you. And you know me. And I'm talking about the eternal, which is the only thing that we know, if you really want to know. But as we close this up, cherish these things. And cherish these things the much the more every day. We are so loved by Him. We have been so graced and called by Him. We have been sought out. Just like these precious sisters we read of tonight. They were sought out to bring that heat to the King. To bring that surprising love to a Boaz. To stand before Ahasuerus and minister. But it was so funny, and I love it about Ahasuerus. I don't even think he heard anything she said. It didn't matter. Okay, it's all yours. It's all yours. What's mine is yours. Request it, honey. Request it, whatever you want to request. But you notice his answer was always the same. What's mine is yours. Go ahead and request it, honey. But what's mine is yours. And remember, what is his? All things. Now, we even know the endless dimension of it, brothers and sisters, because we have the eyes that see into the deep things, the very heart of God, and the very heart of our bridegroom for us. That's the deep things of God. It's not getting lost in what you think you can know of the Word of God. It's knowing the heart in the Word of God. It's knowing Him. Stand before Him. Cherish Him. Lie in His bosom. Minister unto Him. Bring Him the heat. Fiery cherubim ones. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's who we are. And isn't it wonderful how He encourages us? You might get a little bit down because that's where the enemy wants you to be. But I'll tell you, the Word of God picks you right up. It lifts you right out of it. That's what a full overcomer is. Just here comes the wave and you ride it. Yeah. Forever buoyant. Praise be to God. Let's stand, be dismissed.